Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, where you'll find regular insights on what's happening in the world of local marketing from two of the brightest and occasionally irreverent minds in the industry, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's show is sponsored by Site Impact, the experts in email marketing. And now, here's your hosts, Gordon and Corey.
Hey, welcome everybody to our podcast. Happy Thanksgiving, Corey.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Gordon.
Hey, did you see? We got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to make this one a little bit short because we know everybody wants to get to that turkey or ham or whatever it is they're going to have. So we're not going to have a featured interview in this one, but we got two really cool ones coming up for the end of the year. So stay tuned. You're going to love the last two that we have in December. Really, really cool stuff. But Thanksgiving is upon us. And did you see the discussion in the local advertising and marketing trends group on LinkedIn?
Yep, I picked up on that.
Yeah, we talked about the Thanksgiving paper being fat in our last podcast, and it got picked up on the discussion in there, and it was just kind of interesting what people were saying about newspapers.
Well, I like the one comment, which is kind of what I said, is that's one day a year.
One day a year. The inserts make the newspaper really fat. But you know what? That's bullshit. Sorry. It is. I mean, it's not one day a year. I mentioned in that segment or that LinkedIn group that I had lunch with a Walmart buyer, the person who buys all the inserts. This is a few years ago. And she said, you know, as long as they work, we're going to keep buying them. And we're going to buy them every single week because we track the SKUs, whatever is advertised in that flyer. And as soon as we drop, say, 100,000 in a market, we see sales go up at those Walmarts in that market, or the one Walmart.
Three to 4 years ago, you said.
They're still tracking them. They're still placing them in there, and the newspaper is still fat.
Uh-huh, that one day.
Oh, man, you're just so skeptical. You know, it's Thanksgiving. We should be talking about
what we're thankful for. What are you thankful for? I know what I'm thankful for these podcasts.
You know what? I'll tell you what I'm thankful for.
What's that?
I'm thankful for there's stuff that we can criticize. There's just so many stupid things going on out there.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
It makes life entertaining, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's so easy to criticize. So
let's do that.
You know, let's do that. That's a great idea.
Okay. Tell me some things you think are just kind of goofy and maybe dumb.
I'll tell you one thing I read up on this week, and that was the NBCU shoppable thing. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So for those of you out there who don't know, they've got a new idea. What they're going to do during either ads or shows, they're going to place a QR code in the bottom right-hand screen so that you, can, as a shopper, can bring out your phone, point it at your TV screen, take a picture of the QR code, and then get sent to a retailer's website.
That's it. I'm going back to NBC primetime. That's all I'm watching. Screw Netflix, Hulu, all that other stuff on demand.
Right, right. This is really going to work because the American consumer wants to go through all those steps. They really, really do when they're watching TV.
You know what it reminds me of? It's sitting over there on the shelf. It's a little box. It's QCAT.
Oh, QCAT.
People from 20 years ago, remember, it was a little cat that you plugged into your computer and you scanned, and there was a cord that went to your television. So a commercial would come on, there'd be a little tone, and it would cue up something on your screen. It would take over your desktop screen and show you more product information about the Popeil pocket fisherman.
Sure.
How annoying. And that's never going to work.
Yeah, another thing that I think is interesting, they're going to do this during shows, which means if I'm watching The Voice and I see a cool living room set from IKEA and I do the QR code, am I now stop watching The Voice and now I'm shopping? So I'm no longer watching the program that you put the QR code on?
Yeah, well, I think you'll probably get a lot of people to agree that ain't going to fly. Yeah. What else?
How about a couple weeks ago we talked about TV going after small SMBs.
Yeah, the interview with Steve Lanzano at TVB where he mentioned this is going to, with television going to a new method of calculating inventory and what they're going to sell, impressions-based instead of ratings points-based, will allow them to go after the smaller advertisers that won't necessarily need $50,000 just to do some advertising on TV this quarter. No. They're going to have to do a lot of retooling at a local TV station. Typical local TV station, small market, 4 to 8 salespeople, maybe 10 to 12 salespeople. And they can only afford to go after the bigger advertisers, and they're only accustomed to going after the bigger advertisers. It's going to be a whole lot of retraining that goes on there.
Sure. We're talking about that incredibly long tail that nobody has solved, at least in a local media universe. They haven't really solved it because you just don't have time to go after $1,000.
The caveat to that would be, or the exception would be, is say if they were doing what Town Square does, which is we're going to create a completely separate unit. It's going to be all telemarketing, all telephone-based sales, and we're going to go after the smaller advertisers. So Town Square, big radio company, very, very successful so far. We see some pretty strong revenue build on that, close to $100 million in a 12-month period. So that might work if television does that and sells TV inventory that way, but I don't think it's going to work. I know it's just not going to work with their existing staff, having to prop up basic television sales with, you know, $30,000, $50,000, $60,000 minimums. Also, you got to go after this guy and sell him a $2,500 a month TV extension.
Yeah, which is going to win. Yeah.
Oh, while we're being negative, why don't we just keep going on? How about local podcasting? What do you think of that?
Oh, you know what I think about this? I just don't get it. I don't get it. Every time I ask, what is the local play with podcasting? Everybody, including you sometimes, Mr. Burrell, will tell me all the great stats about podcasting and how many people are listening to podcasts. And I still ask, yeah, but what is the local play?
I can't figure it out. Now, we see all, you know, what we're doing is we're going over headlines where you see podcasting, look at the revenues, it's going to save radio, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. Okay, nationally, I can understand it. We've got a fairly successful podcast. The audience continues to grow. We've sold out on sponsorships. We doubled sponsorships for 2020. That's great, but it's national. It's not local. So what can you do that will appeal and have a right-size audience for a local business?
But even if you do, let's say you do. We live here in Williamsburg, Virginia. Plenty of history. I could probably develop a Williamsburg podcast that would get people interested in listening. Now, do I sell a local advertiser to sponsor 10 of these? Then I've just locked up one sponsor for 10 podcasts. I'm done.
Yeah, it's very, I think what we've identified is it's a very troublesome business model on the local level. You look up at Boston where they have a great sports show. I think it's one of the Beasley stations. And even in Philly, they're doing some really great things. They've got a fairly large audience. That's Boston. That's Philly. They're both top 10 markets. So local, problematic.
Yeah, I would think so. There's another one that's kind of bugging me right now, and because I've been talking to some people out there in the industry, and I got to come down on myself. About 5, 6, 7 years ago, before I was a member of the Burrell family, I was out there promoting audience-based selling for local media companies. That was the future. We were going to sell audiences. That's how we were doing stuff. I'm a little worried about that now, Gordon. I think audience-based selling, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, is just a different way to sell a product.
You're deep on me here. Okay, so explain audience-based selling.
Well, audience-based selling is, instead of talking about, we'll pick on newspaper again since we started the conversation with newspaper, it's now we're not going to go out and talk about newspaper. What we're going to talk about are the readers of the newspaper and how great they are and the disposable income, and we're going to lead with audience first. Sounds great. Sounds like the way to do it. However, it's just couching the product sell. You're still selling a product. I think instead of audience-based selling, local media companies should start thinking about consumer-based selling. Sounds the same, but it's different. It's understanding a consumer and a consumer's journey and how they can influence that journey all the way through.
Now you're making my head spin.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm pretty deep, and I lose you a lot on these kind of things, Gordon, so I'm not surprised.
Is that what it is? You're deep?
Yeah, I'm deep. I'm deep. Very philosophical.
So just give me a quick example, okay? I'm sitting on the sofa. I'm thinking about buying a new sofa. I'm watching TV.
Exactly.
I go out. I could do something. What
exactly. It's understanding that path. It's understanding somebody who's sitting on their sofa, watching TV, deciding they need a new sofa, searching for that new sofa, going out, buying it, bringing it back, and then bragging about the new sofa. That's a consumer. That's not an audience. It could be a Venn diagram of an overlap, but understanding that entire path and what it takes to get in front of that path, that's where the future is.
Okay, yeah, but all I need to do is hit my TV sales goal this month, so you're asking me to think too much, and then when the guy's out and about doing something, how do we reach him if he's not in front of a TV set?
Yeah, you don't have any other assets but the TV.
That's it.
Right.
So okay. You're talking about a lot of work there.
Yeah, we are, and we're probably we could rant about this stuff all day long. Maybe we should take a break. This is a great time to hear from our sponsor.
We're going to do something phenomenal for listeners just to get them acquainted with our sponsor, Site Impact. They're out to prove how powerful email marketing can be. So here's the deal. I want you to text somebody, and I'm going to give you their cell phone number in about 30 seconds. So get ready to jot it down. You're going to want this. Trust me, it's not a gimmick. So here's the deal. How'd you like more opt-ins for your daily email newsletter? Or how'd you like to help a dealership sell some cars? Or maybe get people to sign up for a furnace tune-up? All you have to do is pick the target audience. Higher income homeowners with good credit living within 20 miles of Duluth. And Site Impact will send 50,000 targeted emails for you to that particular target for free. 50,000 for free. If you get a mere 1% response rate, that's 500 leads. All you have to do is text. Here's the number, 561-685-8991, and say, tell me more. Give you the number one more time, and you can find the number at the end of the description of this podcast on our website if you want to go back there and look. 561-685-8991. Give Site Impact a test drive. You're going to love this.
Man, you know, I feel kind of bad now. We spent the whole first part of this podcast complaining. There are good things that are happening out there, Gordon, like P&G, that announcement from P&G saying they're going back to traditional media, huh? Yeah. That's good, right?
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot again.
Yeah, I am.
One of the reasons we started this podcast is these conversations that we have, and we thought, wow, that'd be interesting for people to overhear. So this is the one that you might want to close your ears on, especially if you're in radio. A couple of years ago, P&G, a guy from P&G, got up there and said, you know, we have some issues with digital, and we're going to cut back a little bit on digital and put some more into traditional. And both TV and radio grabbed a hold of that, and it's running on fumes, and it's not exactly true.
Right.
I mean, it's true that they did cut back. But then they plowed more back into digital. But you still see, I just saw this morning in a forecast from a radio person saying, oh, yeah, people are coming back to radio and people are coming back to TV and, you know, digital is full of fraud. Look what P&G did. They did not do that. I'm not really – well, they did it to a small extent, but it got so overblown and so exaggerated that people used it to feel comfortable to say – oh, yes, people are coming back to radio. Advertisers are coming back to television. And that's not what my numbers show.
Well, that, and yeah, I think coming back, define coming back, is it just a rebalancing? Is it going, I mean, think about the tier one auto advertisers who plowed everything into digital there 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and the dealers screamed, that's great, but we need traditional media too. And waned back or waxed back to traditional media. I don't think it really depends on what you mean by coming back.
It's adjusting of the dials.
Yeah.
What Procter & Gamble did was realize that they had overspent. In fact, they were criticized in some advertising channels for overspending without measuring what they were doing in digital. And so they came back, they reassessed things, and they adjusted the dials a bit. But to everybody, frozen in time,
sure.
That time 3 or 4 years ago, all anybody ever saw was black and white. Oh, they cut digital and came back to, you know. So anyway, can we change this subject? There's
yeah,
a little
let's
more
change
research
the subject.
We need
this
to
is
do
kinda,
on that.
We're going into the holiday season, and we're doing nothing but sitting here bitching. We should do something. We should be more positive, Gordon. We should find the positive stories out there in local media and
I'll jump in. There are some positive things. There are some companies, and you know, the way I was raised to always look for something that wasn't right and try to fix it. So this is a struggle. This is painful for me. But there are some companies out there, and I think quite a few, that have kind of got the direction right. I'm not sure they got the model right. And some analysis that I just recently did yesterday, I haven't shared it with you yet, on the radio industry, shows that they are damn close this year, 2019, to losing roughly the same amount of radio advertising as they are gaining, so the ad, the addition of the two, in digital advertising. It's coming close. I'm not sure it'll actually reverse itself next year. So they're getting less flat. And you see that with a lot of other industries as well, newspapers, maybe TV, I don't know. But the gains that they're making on the digital space, and some in cases of TV and newspapers, consumer revenue, making it look like the future is not so glum for those companies that get it and understand it and aren't monolithic newspapers selling newspaper advertising, monolithic TV selling TV, and maybe a few banner ads on their website.
Right, right. And truth be known, it's a lot easier to sit here and complain and pick things apart than it is. It's harder for people to talk about and share good things, too. We should somehow, how can we get people to share with us the good things?
Boom. I got it. Hey.
Okay.
The Local Advertising and Marketing Trends Group. It's sort of a companion to the podcast
there
here.
You go.
I know a lot of you know about it because it's got thousands of followers already on LinkedIn. So go to LinkedIn. If you haven't joined the local, it's called Advertising and Marketing Trends. We might change it to sync up with the title of this, which is just Local Marketing Trends Podcast. And we'll start the discussion there. But I want to do something, and okay. I want you to watch this. Okay.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of people on there that will not have listened to this podcast. So those of you who are on the podcast, you'll be able to look at it and chuckle.
So the dumber people. Right?
We're back to that.
Yeah.
No. So I'm going to post something on there. We will.
Yeah.
And say, you know, hey, tell us some positive things. What are some great things happening in the industry? And I bet you, so if you're listening to this podcast, you won't do it. But I bet you that if someone says, the greatest thing is radio is doing a really, really good job. Yeah. Newspapers are doing a really, really good job. Go click on their profile and look. And I bet they're in the radio industry and they're going to be saying great things about radio. So the positive things that they see are going to be positive for them rather than overall positive. We're all prejudiced in one way. We're
sure.
all just kind of, you know, biased. And the industry that we're working in has some really, really great positive things going on because we couldn't operate otherwise, could we?
No. I think you're right. I think you're going to get those cheerleaders out there. But I'm hoping that we can find local marketing success stories, because if somebody's doing it right in Toledo, Ohio, they can do it right in Tallahassee, Florida. There's no competition there, and that would be really cool to get to.
Yeah, maybe we can use some of them in our conference coming up in March in Miami. If there's some great case studies there, maybe we can put them up on stage.
That would be a great idea.
Great.
Actually.
Well, we've spent another perfectly good 20 minutes or so on this, and thank you for joining us and for listening in. We hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. And again, if you're listening after Thanksgiving, we hope you had one.
There you go.
Right. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Site Impact. If you have submissions for something you'd like Corey or Gordon to discuss, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, email the hosts at podcast@borrellassociates.com and let them know. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.